Father knows best. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. We're going to read 17, then go back to verse 1. Verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." A powerful verse, a familiar verse to most of us. Now let's go back to Romans 10 and verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." How many of you know that's God's desire for everyone? That everyone be saved. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise." In other words, don't say in thine heart, "Who shall ascend into heaven?" That is, who can go up and bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the depth? That is, who can say to go and to bring Christ up again from the dead? But what saith it? "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead," what? "Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Some powerful, powerful words. Jesus, we thank you tonight for this opportunity again. We thank you for the power of your presence and the power of your word. And Lord, as we preach today, we thank you for an anointing. Touch our ears and hearts to receive. And God, may you accomplish in us what you desire this evening. And we give you glory. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Father knows best. Our Father, which art in heaven, what? Hallowed be thy name. Our Father. You know, God the Father knows best. You remember growing up, a lot of times we didn't think our fathers knew what they were talking about. How many of you thought you knew more than your parents knew? But you know, as we serve the Lord, we begin to realize that Heavenly Father does know best. And He also offers the best advice. He offers the best help that we can receive. He offers the best solutions to the dilemmas of our lives, doesn't He? As Paul wrote to Romans in chapter 10, we see his heart for the people as well as the people's heart. We're going to discover that as we preach tonight. In our message this morning, we saw how Paul discerned what was missing in the lives of 12 disciples that he met in Ephesus. What was missing? What was missing in the message this morning? The baptism with the Holy Spirit. And as Paul explained to them, following Christ and baptized them in water and then laid hands on them, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what was missing. Tonight in Romans chapter 10, we see the people's hearts were for doing the works. They were glad to do the works that were expected of them. Isn't it wonderful to have a church full of people who are willing to work? How many of you are glad for that? Amen? How many of you know every church, including ours, need more people to work? But when you look at these people that Paul's writing to in Romans chapter 10, they were for the works. Verse 2, Paul said, "I testify about them that they are zealous for God." They had a zeal for God. Anybody here have a zeal for God? Now, anybody used to have more of a zeal than you do now? Don't raise your hand. But you know, we should have a zeal for God. And these people were known for their zeal for Him. But the people didn't have the experience with God that they should have had. When I look at my own life, I really feel like, personally, I should be further along spiritually than I am. When I look at my own ministry, over the years of pastoring, I feel like I should know more and be even deeper in the Word than I am today. And I think if we all look at our lives and our experience with God and the Word, we'd probably say the same thing. Amen. Verse 2 said again, they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Wow. We really need some enthusiastic people in the church. We don't have a camera up here, do we? To where we can kind of shine it out there tonight to see how enthused you are or aren't. We need some enthusiastic people in the church today. See, these people were enthusiastic, but they did not realize or recognize that God had more for them than just works. I'm glad we can be involved in the church and in the ministry, and we ought to be. But God has more for us than just works, doesn't He? God's character, His justice, mixed with His love and grace. These people weren't aware of all of that. They had no experience of His saving grace. They had not experienced the power of saving grace. Is there anyone here tonight that has experienced the power of saving grace? Is there anybody here whose life has really genuinely been changed? Is there anybody here that's totally different than you used to be? If there is, why don't you just lift your hand right now and thank God for what He's done for you, in you, and through you when He came into your life. Jesus, we give You glory. Thank You for our salvation. Thank You that we're not the same people we used to be. Lord, You've made us new. You've made us fresh. You've made us different than we've ever been before. And God, we thank You that's just the beginning of the journey, that You always have more. Hallelujah. You always have more. Thank You, God. Point number one, their faith was in the law, not in the giver of the law. See, because they did not understand the power of God's saving grace, they decided how they should live. When we don't know His grace, when we've not experienced His salvation, we make our own decision how we should live, just like they did. So they came up with their own standards. Anytime we set our standards concerning our spiritual life and concerning our well-being, anytime we set our own standards, these standards will always come short of our Heavenly Father's standard. Amen? Too much is given, much is required. And that's not just leadership. When we received salvation through Christ, we've been given much. And because we've been given much, much is required. When you convince yourself that the guidelines and standards you have set for you is all there is, you will be reluctant to submit to God. When our standard, we think, is the way to go, and we don't include His, we will not be willing to submit to Him. Verse 3 says, they sought to establish their own righteousness and did not submit to God's righteousness. In the middle of all these things, we see Paul's desire for the Romans. In the midst of the zeal, in the midst of people living with their own righteousness, setting their own goals, their own standards, we see Paul's desire. Verse 1, Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel is that they be saved. Do you know God's Word said it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? It's not God's will that any person go to hell and be without Christ. It's His will that everyone come into the kingdom and know Him. You know, submission to God causes us to accept God's standard above our own. Our standards begin to shift. Our standards begin to change as we submit to Him. What was wrong with many of the religious Romans was that they ignored the sinfulness of their hearts while trying to do God's work. Did you get that? This is the crowd He's preaching to. This is the crowd He's writing to. They ignored the sinfulness of their hearts while trying to do God's work. The same thing has been filtering into God's church today. People denying or ignoring their own sin while trying to do the work of God. And when there's sin in the camp, it's going to bring trouble into the camp. Sometimes God can't move the way He wants to when there's sin in our life and sin in our camp. Not that we have to be perfect, but when we sin, we need to deal with it and we need to repent and we need to go on with God. Can you say amen to that? So these people he's writing to in Romans, they believed in God. They believed what God, what word they had received from the prophets. They believed all of that. But they felt they had no need of Jesus. Talked to a lot of people. See, I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. If you go out and start witnessing and asking people about their spirituality or their relationship with God, they'll say they believe. The Bible says the devil believes and trembles. Anybody believes in God, the devil does, but he's had his chance. I've accepted my chance. How about you? Dear Lord, I've already signed up. Anybody else? I've already signed up for heaven. I'm on my way, and I hope that you are. No need of Jesus. We see the same thing happening today. People think they're okay if they go to church. People think they're okay if they pray every day. People think they're okay if they read the Word. But it's got to go beyond that. You've got to know Jesus. You've got to have a relationship with Him. Now flip back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I like the word grace and the word stand, don't you? And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That leads us to point number two. Active faith opens the door of access to the grace of God. Let me say it again. Active faith opens the door of access to the grace of God. I tell you, I'm excited about being a Christian. Anyone else? I'm excited about what He's done in my life and what He's doing. Being justified by faith means that you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by faith. To be justified is to be made right with God through Jesus Christ. So verse 2 said, by Him we have access by faith. By Him, by faith. It takes the two in order for us to experience the grace of God. We have access into this grace wherein we stand. And because of this access into God's grace, we stand, we rejoice, and now we have hope. Feels good to be able to rejoice when things are hard. There's times I didn't. Amen? Verse 3 says, we glory in tribulation. The word glory means we boast. It means to joy. It means to rejoice. Tribulation? My. You know, James 1:12 says this. James 1:12 says to us, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for he, when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. Anybody been tempted since you believed? Anybody been tempted recently? Two people. Tell me your secret. Amen? He says to count it joy when you're tempted. Now, that sounds like something way up here that we can't achieve. And because it sounds like something too high and too hard to achieve, we many times convince ourselves that we can't live there. Are you with me this evening? Be joyful when temptations come. Now, I'm not sure that I've arrived at the fulfillment of that verse yet. Anybody else be honest with me today? I've not always rejoiced when I've tempted. I've fought when I've been tempted. I've fought with my flesh. Come on, are you with me tonight? And sometimes in our flesh wants to win, sometimes we fight with God. He said, rejoice when temptation comes, when we fall into temptation. And I've got a feeling I'm not the only one that hasn't arrived yet. Well, Father knows best. You know, this is what God says we're to do. He says we're to get to the place in our relationship with Him to where we can rejoice when we're tempted. Father knows best. You know, this is who He says His children are. His children are people who rejoice when they're tempted. Heard some amens, but not one shout. Rejoice when you're tempted. Now, as Christians, you have to have accepted Jesus and be following Him. It's one thing to pray a prayer. It's another thing to become a follower. It's another thing to be a disciple. So if we've accepted Christ, and I have you? If we've accepted Christ, now accept the access that you have to His grace. And it's important that you hear me say that, and I want to say it again. Because you've accepted Christ and are following Him, now accept access that you have to His grace. We like to sing songs about grace. We believe in the power of grace. His grace is His power and His ability made available to you. That's what grace is. It is unmerited favor, but it's also God's power and God's ability made available to you and to me as His son, as His daughter, as His child spiritually. We have access to the grace of God. You and I have access to the power of God. You and I have access to the ability, God. See, grace provides the ability to stand. I learned a long time ago that I cannot stand in my own strength. If I try to make it without depending on the Word, if I try to make it in this spiritual walk, in this life, without trusting in Christ, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Grace provides the ability to stand. And He said that we have access to His grace. We stand in His grace. We stand because His Spirit and His power is upon us. We stand because His Spirit and power is around us. We stand because His Spirit and power is within us. What happens to the Christian, to the child of God, to the persons who've received Christ and walks with Him is, listen, we are clothed, we are covered, we're surrounded, and we are filled. God is everywhere with us, in us, and about us. That's why He said in verse 3, we glory in tribulation. God says we boast about Him. That's how you glory in tribulation. I never have gone around saying, thank you, Jesus, for this hardship, but thank you for helping me to get through it. We don't want to talk so much about the problem or the sickness or the difficulty that we can't get our sight focused on Him. So when He talks about boasting in tribulation, He's talking about boasting in Him. And Him having given us the strength and the ability to stand, we are to rejoice in tribulation. This is who He says you are in Christ. This is who He says I am in Christ. Tribulation. Pressure. Anybody had any pressure recently? Tribulation means anguish, affliction. It means burden. It means trouble. It means persecution. Tribulation. And He says to rejoice and to boast in tribulation? Did you know that God is interested in strengthening you? He is interested in strengthening you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us before we realized we needed Him. Think about that. Before Christ comes into our hearts and lives, we are without strength. Aren't we? We are without strength. We are not without strength any longer. Did anybody hear me tonight? I am not without strength any longer. If you're in Christ, you are no longer without strength. Now, tribulation, it's It's hard to get excited about tribulation, isn't it? You know, tribulation causes a domino effect. A domino effect that is meant to produce His strength in you and in me. Let me just ask you, is there anyone here who really wants to become stronger in the Lord? Is there anyone here that wants even a greater anointing upon your life? Is there anyone here that wants to be able to stand in the future better than you've stood in the past? I do. Tribulation causes a domino effect that is meant to produce His strength in us. And that strength is the grace of God. That strength is the ability of God and the power of God. Pressure. Burden. Trouble. Nobody knows the trouble I see. The Lord does. Tribulation. Pressure. I think of my wife. When we get a little irritated or agitated with each other, sometimes she'll point her finger at me and say, "The pressure's getting to you." But what I like about it, she says, "The pressure's getting to you and it's getting to me." And usually after she says that, though we might have been irritated with one another or frustrated with each other, that's usually the end of it. And it's over. Tribulation. Tribulation works patience. You see, what's happening in your life and mine, there's a process that's taking place. We like things instant. Instant potatoes, instant grits, instant oatmeal. You know, we're dreaming of us. Some of you ladies probably have dreamed of the day when you can hit a button and the turkey comes out and it's made. It comes out of that little door, made, cooked, ready to go, kind of like the Jetsons. But we're living in an instant generation, and we like everything instant. For instance, the internet that we're live with even tonight, instant, right now, around the world, people can watch what's happening at First Ascent, instant. On your phone, you have instant communication. We like things instant. But a process is taking place. We don't like the process, do we? See, we want to accept Christ, or we want to be way further down the road than we are. I do. Do you? But there's a process, and we don't like the process in between. Tribulation worketh patience. Now, patience means cheerful endurance. Have you ever gritted your teeth? Thank you, Jesus, I'm going to make it through. You try to make it through. But he meant really cheerful endurance. Patience means cheerful endurance, and it means constancy. Now, remember, we're in a process. Tribulation. And now, tribulation causes patience, cheerful endurance. Are you tired of one day rejoicing and the next day being in despair? Are you tired of the ups and down, up and down experiences of your faith life? If so, let me say three words before I go on. Hang in there. You're in a process. You think I've not been where you are? You think other people sitting here have not been where you are? God's working on you. I like the song, but I don't like the process. God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I love the song, but I don't like the process. Can anybody else say amen to that this evening? God's working on you. One day there will be a constancy that will develop in your life if you don't quit. Come on, shout me down tonight. Sitting around you tonight are people who've gone through the same emotional and spiritual roller coaster that you go through. If that's true, I want you to raise your hand so everybody will know it's not just them and it's not just me. It's us. Why? Because we're in a process. God's working in our life. The domino effect continues. Patience produces experience. Verse 2:4 says, experience. The Greek definition for experience is test, trial, experiment, proof. It implies trustiness according to the Greek. So now we're still in the process. Boy, God's been working on us, been developing some patience, some consistency in our life, and then we have an experience. I don't like all the experiences, do you? Some of them I'd like to do without. Some of them I would rather not go through. The test, the trial, the experiment. All those kinds of different things. Sometimes you feel like you're in a test tube. Amen? Sometimes you feel like you are the experiment. How many of you can relate to that? Dear Lord, I'm tired of this thing. See, this is what's happening. Listen. This is what's happening. You're in the process. What's happening? Proof of your walk with God is being exposed. It's not just tribulation. It's not just patience. It's not just experience. Proof of your walk with God is being exposed. And our walk with God and the different things people need to see in us concerning Him cannot be seen without going through these things. Come on, this is not shouting territory, but you can at least say amen. Amen. It has to happen. You have to go through it. I have to go through it. We have to deal with it. I don't like it, and sometimes I've told God I don't like it. Sometimes I've felt like it's not fair. Anybody else? Have you ever told the Lord, this is not fair? Well, I have. But we're in the process. Proof of your walk with God is being exposed. You are learning to trust God. I'm still learning to trust God. See, by Him allowing you to go through the trial, the test, He's saying, listen to this, you got to get this, He trusts you to pass the test. Now that ought to make you shout. Go ahead, Deborah. Praise the Lord. Puts a new slant on it, don't it? A new slant. God's saying, I trust you to go through the trial. I trust you to go through the test. He trusts you to pass the test. Have you ever had to retake a test? See, trials will cause you to trust in God's ability and God's power. That's where Leo Bracken has to be. That's where you have to get. See, as He works for you and in you, you begin to realize more and more that you can stand in faith. You don't get there overnight. It takes this process that we go through in some of the things we're mentioning tonight. You develop a trust in God that the devil cannot destroy. God's wanting to get you there. He's wanting to get me there. To where we stand, not in our own ability, not in our strength, but because we have learned to access the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. I've learned to access. I've learned to call on God. I've learned to stand on Him. I've learned to use the power and authority. I've learned to quote the Word and not just quote it, but mean it when I say it and when I confess it. Believing that the power of God is behind the Word, even as we speak it with our lips. And then the domino effect continues. And He adds in the Scripture, He adds to experience hope. Hope. Hope means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. It means confidence. It means faith. So you see what's happening? The process is still taking place. In areas that used to devastate you, now you're growing to the place to where you have hope and you're no longer devastated. Some things may still get to you, but over here you've conquered. You're in the process and you're growing and you're becoming stronger. And even when you fail or come short, listen, just keep going. Get back in the process. Let God keep on working. He's developing a man or a woman of God that He can trust and He can work through. Can you begin to understand the process? See, with each step, building blocks of faith and of confidence is being laid. tribulation. Which I'd have brought some big blocks with me tonight. Patience, another block. Experience, another block. Hope, another block. You see, it takes all of these things, these experiences, to produce a hope that is strong and that is lasting. That's why you can sing the song with me, and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Because it becomes more than a song, and it becomes more than a word. It becomes who you are. And who I am. Some of you may be saying to yourself, "Dear God, I must be on my way to being really strong in the Lord. Lord, You must have something great for me because it's been hard." Have you ever thought that or said that? Praise the Lord. Romans 5:5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost, "which is given to us." Hope maketh not ashamed. See the building blocks? See the process that's taking place? Has to take place in your life and in mine. I don't like the tribulation, but He says we can rejoice in that. Why? Because we're developing, we're growing, we're learning, we're trusting. The complete biblical library, we want to read just a couple of things to you. It says the law declares that if a person wants to be right with God, then he must do right. That's what the law requires. Okay? Salvation by grace declares that if a person wants to do right, he must be right with God. Can you see the difference? Let me go back and say it again. The law says if a person wants to be right with God, he must do right. That's earning your salvation. Salvation by grace says if a person wants to do right, he must be right with God. That's grace. How many of you glad you can be right with God? How many of you glad you are right with God tonight? Hallelujah. He must be right with God. Imputed righteousness consists of a person rather than an effort. Through Christ, we have a righteousness which is not dependent upon us or what we have done, but upon Jesus Christ Himself. What He has done for you. What He has done for me. Hallelujah. Kind of exciting, isn't it? Some of you probably said, when I started talking about tribulation, I don't want to hear that tonight, Brother Bracken. But you know, we need to hear that we're in a process. And we need to understand that we're all in that process. Some at a different place. Romans 10 and verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is near you. It's even in your mouth and in your heart. It's the word of faith which we preach." Where is the word? Anybody have it inside you? Where's the word? In my mouth? Where's the word? In my heart. It's so close. All we have to do is speak it as a child of God. Romans 10:17 again says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We need to be hearing the word, we need to be reading the word, and we need to be obeying the word. And when you mess up, get up. Amen? If you mess up, get up and go on with God. Well, how many of you know? Father knows best. He knows you need the process. He knows I need the process. I don't like the process. I'd be the first to tell you. But I like what He's doing in my life. Hallelujah. The opportunity to have faith, faith that works, and the opportunity to have great faith comes to all of us, doesn't it? We all have the same opportunity. The process from salvation to tribulation, to patience, to experience, and to hope is necessary. Turn around and tell somebody, the process is necessary, will you? The process is necessary. The process is necessary. The process is necessary. Dear Lord, This is God's plan for you. And this is God's plan for me. To become constant, learning to trust God and to cheerfully endure. That's where I am to be. That's who He says I am. That's who He says you are. And as I close, the Lord is trusting you with His ability and His power. The Lord is entrusting you with His ability and His power. Because He said right after being justified by faith that we have access to His grace by faith. He's trusting you. He's trusting me. Say it again. With His power and His ability. And brothers and sisters, that's a great trust. For the God of the universe to trust you with His ability and to trust you with His power. Father God knows best. Father knows best. So the next time you're going through a trial or tribulation, you're going through that experience, the next time you feel like your patience is being tested, remember, you are in a process. And a process takes time. And as we grow, He'll put us through some new processes. He'll walk us through them. Until He comes again, He'll keep changing us and growing us, making us better and making us stronger, making us like Him.